You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George, your host from Sports 1140 KHTK Radio in Sacramento. Happy March, everybody. We made it through February. March is here, which means the Sacramento Kings are going to be spending most of this month here in Sacramento, a welcome sight. Their front half of the schedule was very road heavy, so now they get to enjoy a lot of time at home. 12 games in the month of March will be played inside the Golden 1 Center, and it begins tonight, March 1st, against the Brooklyn Nets in the Golden 1 Center. And the Kings are in a very, very tight race with multiple teams for the best percentage chance at a draft pick. We've talked about that a lot this week. We will continue that conversation tomorrow as ABC's Sean Cunningham is going to join me and talk about, share his thoughts on the race for the draft pick, tanking. We've talked about that way too much this week. He's going to share his insight on it. Today, doing something a little bit different. I mentioned that I work at Sports 1140 KHDK as a host, a broadcaster, also a engineer, a producer, and a reporter. And one of the shows that we have here at Sports 1140 is the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie. You should recognize both of those names. Grant Napier is the play-by-play voice, the longtime play-by-play voice of the Sacramento Kings. Doug Christie, probably one of the biggest legends in the history of Sacramento Kings basketball, even though his jersey isn't actually up in the rafters of the Golden 1 Center or of Arco Arena. He was a major, major piece of the Kings' glory days, one of the best defenders this team definitely has ever had, and both of those guys work very well together on radio. I encourage you, if you're in the Sacramento area, just tune your radio to AM 1140. You can hear them from 3 to 7 weekdays. Also, if you're out of the area, you can listen to them on KHDK.com or with your mobile device, check out the KHDK app. You can listen to them on demand anytime you want. But yesterday, they had both head coach Dave Yeager and Willie Cauley-Stein on for interviews, two separate interviews, and they were both so good, I felt the need to bring them over and play them for you. So let's not waste any time. Here is Grant Napier and Doug Christie with Willie Cauley-Stein from yesterday, right here from Sports 1140 KHDK.
Willie, how are you today?
I'm good. How are y'all doing?
Doing good. You made an interesting comment last night with, the youth on the floor now, that you're using these final 20-25 games to build that chemistry because you're not seeing the veterans on the floor as much. And for the folks that didn't hear that, go over that again for us.
I'm sorry. My phone was breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, no problem. You said after the game last night, you were talking about chemistry and learning how to play with one another without the veterans on the floor. In other words, you're seeing lineups now where you're on the floor with, De'Aaron and Bogdan, and Justin Jackson's playing a lot of minutes, and you're playing next to Scal, who had just missed 8 games, and before that wasn't playing as many minutes, and you're not seeing the veterans. And you had made a comment alluding to the fact of, we need to use these final 20-25 games to really learn how to play with each other.
Yeah, I think these next 25 games are more our momentum going into the summertime. So, these next 25 games, we have to really focus on what each other's strengths are and what each other's weaknesses are, and kind of fix that going into the summertime. But using this set of games for the energy we can bring into our summer workouts here, and just the kind of morale we will have with each other.
Willie, even though there are young players on the team, when I look at some of these matchups, I don't know if you, because you guys are traveling so much, how much you get to see other teams play. But the other day, KD and Melo kind of got into it, and they started going after each other. And I know you and Kat are really good friends. How do you begin to get that, the level of disdain that you need to have, and do you see that in some of these young players as you guys continue to go forward and try to build the right type of culture to compete against these really good teams?
Yeah, man, I think it's one of them things of as you know, playing, you do develop, those friendships across the board. Mm-hmm. But then when you step in each other's way of competing, you're trying to kill them. They're trying to kill you. So, at the end of the day, you got to put your friendship aside to a certain degree. And it's just like a friendly competition of, well, this time I'm trying to whoop your ass because last time y'all did it to us.
Right.
So, like, then that's kind of how it goes back and forth. You know, everybody got their own little stats of the series that you're in throughout the whole year, and you're trying to win that series at the end of the day.
When Karl Anthony Towns, who obviously is, you know, he's the real deal, but when he first set foot at Kentucky, was it obvious right from get-go, day one, that he was going to be this good?
Oh, man, I remember him before he got there. I think he was like maybe 15 or 16, and he was there for the Dominican team. I was a freshman, and it was already set up for him.
Wow.
From that point, like, once he got here, it was over. Like, it was already set up before he got there. So it's crazy how to see it unfold or how it did. And I watched the whole thing. So it's like,
So you're not surprised at all. I mean, there was a reason why he was the number one pick in the draft, and I get that. But I watch him play, and I'm trying to, and you would know this better than I do because you go against him. I just don't see any weaknesses in this game. Does he have any weaknesses?
Of course, man. Everybody got weaknesses.
All right, what's his weakness? Because I haven't seen it yet.
His weaknesses just happen to be really good. Like, you'd rather him take a fadeaway jumper, even though he's probably going to make it half the time, or you want him to take. So it's like, I'd rather him bait him into taking his jumper, and that's like the weakness is, like, you know, exploiting his strengths, which is the whole floor. The whole floor is his strength. There's not a point where he can't score. So, like, you have to make him feel like he got to score maybe less, like, in an easier way, which is, you know, shooting jumpers is an easy way to score. Like, especially for a dude like that, he's settling if he's shooting a jumper.
Yeah. Willie, when you take the court every night, I say this some nights we focus on other players, but every night you have an advantage. It's either quickness, it's size, there's something. Do you go into the matchup of the starter and the reserve at the both 4 and 5, and do you try to look at what it is that you can exploit on a night-to-night basis?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Me and Larry, Bob, B. Gates, all of us really, really have it to an intention of who we're playing. And that's it's of the higher level thinking now. It's like it used to be, you know, we're just gonna line up and we're gonna play. But now I'm starting to use like the mental aspect of the game. It's like, you know, scouting, watching film on other players and knowing their tendencies but really knowing their tendencies, not just like I'm going over them right before the game, but like taking as much time as you got before you play them to really know somebody's tendencies. And it's gotten fun in that aspect. Like it's becoming like a hobby of doing it. And it's like, it's just interesting to like think about what I'm doing now in the game and what I was doing when I first came in the league, because it doesn't feel that long ago. But it was really, you know, that long ago.
You know, we had Coach Yeager on earlier, and he talked about journals. And I keep a journal. I write down stuff especially when I played, of strengths and weaknesses, what somebody did to me on a certain night. Do you, it might not be writing now, because he also mentioned that now it's tablets and phones and different things. Do you put those type of notes down, or are you a guy that just kind of remembers it?
No, I keep a lot of journals. I think paper's magic, man. I got a journal downstairs that I keep on me at all times. And I have a specific, like, journal entry back in December with Vince. And we were in Philly. It was crazy. But I remember it because I just read it the other day. And it's just, like, always, like, you know, one of them things of, you got it. So it's like, man, I got a Legends quote right here. Mm-hmm. I remember him telling me it's way more powerful that way than just trying to remember it.
Absolutely.
That's pretty awesome. You know, at this point in the season, and you've been playing, you know, every game, and you're playing a lot of minutes now, how are you physically right now? How do you feel?
I'm good, man. I think our training staff and, you know, our weight training staff has done a really good job of keeping us prepared and ready for, you know, all the minutes that we are getting.
Because, I mean, it's a crazy schedule this week. You just finished a stretch of 3 games in 4 nights. You guys obviously were off today. And then tomorrow, you begin another stretch of 3 games in 4 nights. So much for the schedule being spread out, huh?
Yeah, it seems like it's pretty jumbled up.
Yeah.
But, you know, coach has done a really good job of, like, knowing when to ramp up practice and knowing when to keep it, like, a mental get your shots up practice. And he's really cognitive of our legs, which is important to us because it's like, you know, that's how we keep going. It's through our bodies, and they're real good about keeping us fresh.
Do you, Willie, have you figured out your plan of attack? I know whether it was Epsom salt baths and getting in on the treadmill and doing some squats and different things that I would do to most people would say, oh, I'm going to rest. Well, active rest, different things. Have you figured out your recipe to keep you as lively as you would like to be on a night-to-night basis?
Of course, man. Everybody's got their little different remedies they do, but I like to sit in the ice bath, man. Mm. Not like to the neck, but
no.
You get to the navel.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty
yeah,
impressive.
Yeah, not so much, Napier.
Is there anything worse in life when you first get into an ice bath? No, really. Is there anything worse than that?
Man, I don't know. It's I always got to give out a little yo.
I mean, that's the Doug, right?
Yeah, come on, man. I'm literally thinking about it now. Yeah, it exactly. There you go. Takes your breath away, Grant.
I know. Hey, I've done it before.
And depending on how far you're willing to go, it'll take your breath right away, buddy.
Man.
No comment.
Man.
Willie, when you look at a team like this Brooklyn Nets team, obviously the this is a team that you guys can get in the locker room. Are you guys conversating and talking about, look, you know, we are on a little bit of a losing streak here. Let's really go out and make sure that we lock in against a team like this and try to run them out of Golden 1 Center.
Yeah, it's definitely one of them games where the mental side of it, we got to be locked in. We can't have mental turnovers. And I mean that in like a sense of we can't be the ones turning it over and kind of shooting ourselves in the foot. We have to make aggressive turnovers if we're going to turn it over. But the key is definitely keeping our turnovers low. And that's just, all really on the mental side and taking care of the ball and knowing what you're going to do with it and not being hesitant and all that other stuff. But it's definitely one of them games where, you know, when we look across the board, we're both young teams and we're both trying to assert ourselves in this league. So, when you look across from that, like it's game on.
Game on is it, and we'll see you tomorrow, Willie. Always good having you on. Thanks very much.
You know, Willie Cauley-Stein gets a lot of criticism for some reason, having a lot of other interests outside of the game of basketball. I know plenty of times in the past his work ethic has been questioned. Also, his basketball IQ has been questioned. But every time I hear Willie speak and every time I get the opportunity to have conversations with him, whether it's in the locker room after games or over a radio interview, Willie Cauley-Stein has a much bigger basketball IQ than gives him credit, or than people give him credit for. I will say that where I have my biggest frustrations with Willie, and I talked about this on yesterday's podcast a little bit, is on the defensive side of the floor. He was drafted as that athletic DeAndre Jordan or Nerlens Noel or Tyson Chandler type big man, and he really hasn't done that, especially since DeMarcus Cousins left. He's kind of taken over the offensive role, which is good in some sense, but you want to see him more active on the defensive end of the floor. But if you like hearing him talk and hearing his interviews, you can listen to. He joins Grant and Doug almost every single week. Again, I encourage you to check out and download the KHDK app. All the archives of all of his interviews with Grant and Doug are there, and continue to listen to the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie every single day, weekdays, on Sports 1140 KHDK, and hear more of his interviews and also interviews like this. Here is the head coach of the Sacramento Kings, Dave Yeager. He joined Grant and Doug and had some great things to say as well.
All right, we are moving right along. Dave Yeager, the Dave Yeager Show, brought to you by Petkus Brothers, the Kings, with a very busy week. I did not realize this, Dave. First of all, it's good to have you on. I did not realize this as we were getting ready for the game on Monday. You're the only team in the league to have five games in a week. You had two. You have a game, obviously, tomorrow and then Saturday or Sunday. No other team in the league with five games in a week, which I did not know that. Were you aware of that? That's crazy.
Oh, it's good times, brother. It's good times. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, and then, you know, we'll finish this up, and then we've got another one in the middle of March, too. So, yeah, the schedule keeps on coming, and I kind of look at it like, hey, I'd rather take it now for where we are. And as we grow up a little bit, maybe the schedule comes back to you a little bit and kind of comes and goes, like referees' calls kind of comes and goes. You got to just keep battling, and you know, it comes back around.
Coach, is any of this the ability, whether you tell them or you just observe, to kind of watch how they respond to tough situations like this? Because obviously they haven't been in these type of situations before. Then you got to practice a little bit or shoot around. Do you kind of watch how they respond to 5 and 7 nights and those type of things?
Yeah, I think it's a good part of our evaluating process of our players and our team. And, you know, we've kind of taken the training wheels off, so to speak. And that's what next year is going to look like. As well. So, you know, it's going to be these young guys, and they're not going to have, I don't know, the assistance of a lot of older guys next year because, you know, it's their opportunity. I tried to shorten the season for them this year as much as possible. And, you know, here we are with whatever 21 or 20-some left to go. And I think, you know, not to say that guys don't like to play. I think they've seen what they need to see and experience it. And now, you know, they got to finish the season, and there's a lot of minutes left to be played for those guys. So, you know, we talked about it last night after the game. You know, you got to keep a journal, or you know, whoever you confide in, or whatever. You got to make mental notes of all of these things, and we as coaches do that with those guys all throughout the course of the season, anyways. But what do you need to work on in the off season? Where do you need to get better? Where do you need to get stronger? The weaknesses in your game. Where can you take the things that you're good at and make them great? And so that's the conversation that we're having. And you know, better days are ahead. How far ahead? I don't know, but You keep plugging away and learning in a competition setting, and that's how you're going to get better.
We're talking with Dave Yeager right here on Sports 1140. Quick start for Portland last night. You took an early timeout. I thought your team responded very well, got right back into the game, then down 13 at the break. I thought you guys, again, showed some resolve. I think at one point in the second half you were within 6, and then the fourth quarter, again, I don't want to make excuses because every team goes through it, but it was your third game in 4 nights. Did you think that was a factor in the fourth quarter last night with attrition?
Yeah, I think so. I felt like we missed 7 layups, I think, in the third quarter.
Yeah, yep. Big time. Yep.
And I think, you know, we got a couple putbacks, and Willie got a dunk off one, and we got Zach probably bumped one in two. But it's just one of those situations where when you miss layups, bad things happen to you because they're going to, especially as the home team, they're going to run it back at you, and they're going to get in the paint, spray out threes and those kinds of things. So I thought we had a real opportunity there to at least make them shake a little bit. Like, you know what, these guys just aren't going away. And when you blow in layups and stuff, then, you know, the way they look at you is kind of like, well, you know, that's who they are, and we're going to be just fine. So I was hoping we'd put a little bit more pressure on them by getting it real close and making them play their guys. But they were pretty relaxed.
Coach, there's been an inability to get to the free throw line. I talked about it on television, and I'm wanting your take on it. I know a lot of times guys will just get the ball, they'll drive, and the defender is kind of side by side, step for step. You might be getting fouled. These guys are young. They're not going to get that call. Now, if you get a little step on your guy, you kick it to the next guy, and they have leverage, and all of a sudden that foul comes and the defender's in a bad way, you're probably going to get to the line. Am I right for this young mindset of a player to try to draw fouls?
I think, it's the nature of the beast. You got to go in there and flop and flail and do all those things. But at the same time, Doug, I think when we're looking at the teams that we're playing, you know, every guy's giving up 2 or 3 inches,
right,
and 20 pounds. I mean, you know, it's going to be – it wasn't Jimmy Butler this time, but it has been, you know, 12, 14 days ago. Paul George plays bogey.
Yep.
The size and the length on these guys, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is 6'6". I mean, he just looked over the top and just shot it on us. And so then when you have the ball and you're playing against bigger guys, those bumps and you know, you're way taller than I thought you were in person, by the way.
Thank you.
Getting to know you a little bit. Yeah. I mean, you're like really 6'7".
There you go, Coach. I didn't lie, Coach. I didn't lie.
He was even taller. He was even taller when he had hair.
That's
hey, Coach, he was even taller when he had hair. He had hair when he played.
I saw a couple of those pictures. They were fantastic.
Unnecessary,
you
guys.
So, you know, as when you're playing a guy who's 6'5", 6'4", it makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
You're going to be able to hold and use leverage, and those things aren't as much. And so then when you have it and you're looking over the top of a guy and you're putting it on the deck, you get your shoulder into him, you're bigger, you're longer, and you're probably a little bit stronger. And so that's where the part of the discrepancy is, because you're shooting a lot of balls in the lane.
Yeah.
You know, every night you look at, you know, we're winning the number of shots in the paint, which is positive. I want to create that attack mindset. And when we get better at it and we add, you know, stretch guys around the three-point line, there's going to be more space. Right now there's not a lot of space, so there's a lot of gray area calls, you know, in the lane. And as you said, part of it can be status, but part of it is size and experience as well.
I know that we are accustomed to teams, when they get to this point in the season, not as much practice time. And I know you mentioned that in a recent press conference. And here we are starting tomorrow, again, where you have three games in four nights, but then you're home all of next week in as well. Are we running out of practice time here? I mean, do you look at next week just because of the way the schedule lays out, being at home all week, maybe the last good chance you have of consistent practices? And even with the young team, do you change your practice habits, your time spent on the floor after the All-Star break?
Good question. You know, we take a great deal of pride in, you know, wouldn't be able to say, you know, we've said it 100 times, what our record is or what point the season is. And we want guys to get in and compete, push themselves and get better, but not to the detriment of running dudes out of legs or mental capacity. So you try to, you know, I could very easily tomorrow not shoot around after a day off today. I think that would be best for us mentally, but we're too young. We haven't earned our stripes yet to be able to do that. We got to come in. And we're going to get some stuff done, and we're going to work on some stuff. And it's not going to be a full-on practice, but it's going to be a peppy shoot-around. We're still integrating Frank Mason. You know, poor Frank has come back, and not to say that he reverted to before, you know, like as his first month in the NBA, but it's pretty hard for a young guy to be out 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And he needs that timing, and he needs some reps and to get through some stuff and things of that nature. We keep trying to incorporate Harry Giles into some of the things, you know, we're shooting out for 6 months from now. So Scal's still trying to get comfortable. I think he's played pretty, pretty well. But, you know, get back on the same page because, yeah, there's not a lot of practice time.
You know, Coach, you mentioned journal earlier, and it's something that I kept and I thought was highly valuable to me. And when you look at these young players, I know in your mind you don't make a mistake, but try not to make the same mistake twice. And those journals and things are the things that help you when you're facing a Damian Lillard, a Steph, and those type of things. How do you try to get them to incorporate that into their basketball life?
I don't know. Maybe we got to use social media or some other technological device. You know, pen and a paper. You know, line journals. Are you kidding me? That's like archaic, right?
So, right.
Yeah. Now, whatever it takes. Right. And if you got to, you know, trying to help them with a coach and, hey, let me jot some notes down for you. And let the player talk.
Right.
You know, we try to do that a lot. Like, hey, what did you see? And then you can shape the conversation a little bit. You know, did you realize that, you know, he likes on a catch to off of a pin down, he really likes to get his left foot down so he can go with his right foot, and he's a left right shooter. If, you know, we can get on his other hand and make him try to go the other way, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Those kinds of things, and put that in their mind, and then you've got to get back to it.
Right.
You know, that's the other part of it, is it doesn't do you any good if you don't get back to it and review some of that stuff. And I think that's kind of fun stuff in the off season too. Every now and then you can't just shoot, you know, 1,200 balls every day. And, you know, you get locked in a little bit, like, hey, did you see, you remember when he was doing this to you and these kind of things. And I think that's better for summer workouts than just, you know, it's just not a driving range at the golf course where you come in and get your 1,200 shots.
Yeah. You know, you were talking about the young players. I want to talk about your veterans for a minute because, you know, they're not playing every night. And last night, before the coaches were out on the floor during the warmups, Zach took Scal aside and was showing him a specific move and demonstrating, and then Scal would do it. And I've noticed that, again, I point this out because I just think it's remarkable that to a man, your veterans are so willing to teach and help out the young players, and I see it all the time. I just think what a great situation that must be for you as a head coach of a you know, guys where, let's face it, we've always heard you can't keep everyone happy, and I'm not saying everyone is ecstatic on the team, but you couldn't tell. But I just love the attitude of the veterans. Here we are in almost March, and they're still doing their thing.
Yeah, it's really cool. Having history with those guys, and I prod those guys every now and then to, you know, like, hey, Zach, you know, we talked to Willie, you know, they're putting a 7-footer on you. We can't let 6'8 Carmelo Anthony play Willie in the post. Like, you really got to go at that guy. And I've said it, you know, to Willie. And so if you take him to the sign, you know, that's a real growth of Zach, and same with Costa, that, you know, I had those guys for a long time. I know sometimes their personality was more so just let me just take care of my own game. I got enough stuff to worry about. Just, you know, and what they've done is really fantastic, because none of these guys are excited about not playing, and none of them are excited about playing every other game, which sometimes it comes out to be, because as a pro, these guys have been doing it day in, day out, game in, game out, and it's all about a rhythm to your individual game. And so that's really been a struggle for them. And then and they also know, I think we're 13-5 in games where we are tied or lead going into the fourth quarter. And a lot of those games, those guys were playing. You know, you look at the number of games that Zach Randolph, his win share is just ginormous, where especially in December, where he just put us on his shoulders and just carried us. A lot of those games, Vince Carter was playing stretch four. So we could open up the court and we could do different things, and guys had more space to play. And so it's not to say that, well, we'd be in the playoffs, so we'd be playing those guys. I'm not saying that either. But they do know there's been a level of success in close games with those guys making a big impact. And the number of wins that each of those guys have shared in is pretty high.
Always good having you on. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks very much. Enjoy the rest of your day, Dave.
Man, you guys rock. I'm going to do it again tomorrow.
All right. Well, we'll are on at 3 o'clock, so you call in. You've got the number. You have an open invitation, Dave. You can come on anytime you want.
All right. Thanks, you guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
You know, one of my absolute favorite things about Dave Yeager is his personality and how he approaches and how he treats not just members of the media, but also his players, even fans. He has the same approach for pretty much everybody, a level of mutual respect there, and also just this upbeat and positive attitude, which I think is extremely important when you're going through what this team is going through, this rebuild that's filled with peaks and valleys. One of my favorite stories that I like to tell about an interaction that I had with Dave Yeager, I've had a couple. I had the privilege of one game before, I think it was a couple of months ago. It was before, I don't know, I can't remember who the Kings were playing, but we were having dinner down in the Golden One Center, and it was about 2.5 hours before the game started, and Dave never gets into suits until like 30 minutes before the game started. He is most comfortable in like sweatpants or kind of a tracksuit type getup. He loves to be in that athletic gear, so he will avoid being in the suit as long as possible. But he came in and sat down with myself and Katie Christensen, who's the sideline reporter of the Sacramento Kings, and we just got to have a great discussion having dinner with him. Katie ended up leaving, and he and I then got to talking about, funny enough, I have recently gotten engaged. I'm planning a wedding, and we started talking about honeymoon destinations, and he started sharing with me that he went to Jamaica with his wife and how that trip was. And he started giving me a little bit of marriage advice, but in a very fun and happy and interesting way. That's one of my favorite memories that I have interacting with him. Also, before every single season, the Sacramento Kings host a kind of media party, a media meet and greet with Vlade and Vlade Divac, the Kings general manager, and Coach Dave Yeager, to kind of just establish another good relationship, kind of a welcome back between media and the coaching staff and the front office. So they did that. We had a little luncheon, and there was an appetizer table put out, right? And we could all just come around and get whatever appetizers we wanted and things like that. So Dave and I, there were these like mini taco things, and they were amazing. And Dave and I immediately spent about all of our time around that platter, and they just kept bringing out these mini tacos, and he and I were soaking them up. And at one point, there were only a couple of them left, and I'm standing just in front of Dave, and Dave's telling me to get out of the way so he can get a pair of them, and I drop down into a box-out crouch and stick my arm out just trying to get him back, and he starts giving me pointers and telling me how to properly box him out so he can't get to these tacos. That's just the kind of guy that Dave Yeager is, and you can hear his personality coming through there with Grant and Doug. And you can hear it when he's on with Carmichael Dave in the mornings on KHDK. In any of his interviews, he always brings this air of kind of a smile, of cheekiness, of positivity. And it's something I know the players respond to as well. He's been questioned a lot. I've heard a lot of questions recently about, is he the right guy for this job? And is he the right guy to develop these Sacramento Kings players? I can promise you, based off of my experiences with him and my knowledge of his relationship with his players, the players definitely respect him. He has the respect from all the time that he spent in the D League, G League, developing players and working that way. He grinded to get to where he was at. Also very, very, very well respected for what he did with the Memphis Grizzlies and his time over there. So To answer the question, yes, I do believe he is the right guy for the job. Whether or not he completely sees eye to eye with the direction that the Kings are going, or whether he's completely enthralled or thrilled with the fact that the Kings are supposed to be a bottom feeder team for a couple of years until things start. I mean, he's been very open about this is a process that is supposed to take 2 to 3 years. And he said that multiple times. And he's not trying to hide anything. He recognizes that, you know, it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a work in progress. And things are going to be rocky at times. But ultimately, the long-term goal is this. And he's made it very, very clear. And I think that's something that Kings fans should absolutely appreciate. And he's got a chance to go get a win here tonight. The Kings and the Brooklyn Nets in the Golden 1 Center. This is a game that has not too much interest around it, but major implications when it comes to draft situations. I encourage you to just check out Twitter. Follow a guy, one of my friends from Sactown Royalty, which is a major Sacramento Kings blog here in Sacramento. His name is Tim Maxwell, at Tim Maxwell. You can find him on Twitter. He's known as the Sacktown Baby Giraffe is what he calls himself there, and he posts daily updates on draft pick situations and standing situations for all the teams that are quote-unquote tanking as they are going through for the remainder of this season. So tonight has major implications for that, so hopefully the Kings can get the job done tonight. If they get a check in the win column, that's great. If they lose, depending upon the draft pick situation, I suppose that is great as well. But that's going to do it here for us here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Again, tomorrow, Sean Cunningham of ABC, he's been a reporter for the Sacramento Kings and has been around the Sacramento Kings organization for quite a long time. He is very well plugged in with this franchise. He is going to be joining me tomorrow and sharing his thoughts on tanking and the Kings draft pick situation and really where they're going. So stay tuned for that. We will see you tomorrow. Until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you for joining us right here on the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.